It's time now for the Kill the Can podcast.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Kill the Can podcast. It has been a while, far, far too long. I think the last time I recorded an episode of the podcast was in May. And as I'm sitting here today, we're in late November. Thanksgiving was last week, and I'm actually driving on my way back to work after the Thanksgiving holiday. So I apologize for how long it's been between episodes. Certainly not my intent. I'm actually, like I said, I'm recording in my car today. I'm hoping that the audio in my car will be sufficient. If it's not for this episode, I apologize. But I'm hoping that, if I'm being honest, if I can record in my car, maybe on the way to work or the way home from work, that might be an opportunity for me to knock out more podcasts more often, because clearly kind of my schedule has not really been all that conducive to doing it here lately. Like I said, I haven't gotten an episode out since May. So let's see, what's been going on here? It has been kind of a crazy few months for me personally. I think I've told you on previous episodes of the podcast, my father was dealing with a cancer diagnosis, and unfortunately, I lost him in July. So I have to go on record and say, fuck cancer. It's just fucking terrible. So dad had lung cancer. It was the second time he had lung cancer. And I didn't know it at the time when he was re-diagnosed. I subsequently have come to find out when he was re-diagnosed, he was told that he had stage 4 lung cancer. And my mom and he did not tell us that. I mean, they told us that he had cancer, but they did not share with us the severity of the diagnosis. And so, unfortunately, from the time of his diagnosis until the time he passed away, was about 6 months. And again, I come to find out after the fact that that's about what they told him that he would be about 6 months. I don't know if anybody has lost a father or lost a parent. It is brutal. I am my parents' oldest son. I have one brother. My brother has been awesome through this. My wife and my family has been awesome through this. I miss my dad, obviously. And if I'm being honest, right now in November is about the first time that I've really been able to get my wits together enough to sit down and actually talk about it. My dad actually died on the anniversary of my quit date. He died on July 24th, and I quit on July 24th, 2006. So as if that date wasn't special, that's probably the wrong word, important to me, it will certainly be just yet another reminder. It just adds to the importance of that day for me, July 24th. So, every year on July 24th, I have kind of a tradition where I go and I actually go to my little local watering hole, and I'll have a shot and a beer, and I toast my fellow quitters. And, so this next year we'll not only be doing that, but we'll be toasting dad. And, it's just kind of a shit roll of dice, but, dad was 82 and lived a long and I think fulfilling life. He was the best dad that I could ever ask for. He was an amazing grandfather, amazing father-in-law to my wife and my sister-in-law. And he will be sorely missed for sure. Let's see, with that out of the way, I wanted to chat a little bit today about I guess I'll call it a trend that I'm seeing lately And it's kind of a disturbing trend when you're sitting in my seat. And the trend is celebrities promoting nicotine products, specifically things like Zyn and On and Rogue and those kind of things. And more so than that, it is the uptick and the change in the types of conversations that I'm seeing within social media and social media comments as it pertains to, I'm seeing it more with Zyn, but as it pertains to nicotine pouches in general. So let's start with the celebrity piece of it. I know full well kind of what's going on there, right? These are paid advertising spots, and these celebrities are paid pretty significant money to advertise these products. I've seen the one that really springs to mind is Bert Kreischer. He springs to mind because he's one of my all-time favorite comedians. And so him and Tom Segura, they do a podcast. I think it's called Two Bears, One Cave. And Zyn has been all over their program for the last several weeks now. And again, I get it. And it's disappointing to me just because of kind of the stance that I have around these products. But I get it. They're being paid to promote a product. And I guess the thing that bums me out is the way a lot of these celebrities talk about these products. And again, I understand this is part of the game. They talk about them as if they're actually using them and actually enjoying them and have just kind of come to them organically. And I understand, like, that's part of promotion in 2023. I get that. I think what really bums me out is the TikTok generation, the Instagram generation. I don't know that they get that sometimes, right? You know, you hear about social media influencers and influence and those kind of things. And I think that's just a hard reality that if a 14-year-old kid who likes Bert Kreischer, as an example, hears him talking about these products, they're going to try these products. Now, this is nothing new, obviously, right? This is the same kind of thing that Skoll has done and the Marlboro Man has done and Camel and Joe Cool. And like, so it's nothing new, but it is just kind of really kind of hit me in the face recently. And I think it's because it has reached influencers that I really enjoy listening to, and it has really kind of hit me in the face. So again, I'm not looking to change it. I'm not even necessarily suggesting that the Bert, and again, I keep using Bert because I really like him and I really respect him as a comic. It's not just Bert, so, you know. But I'm not suggesting that they not even do it, right? I understand that they need to make a living, and that's one of the ways that they make a living is by, promoting products and those kind of things. So the more concerning aspect of this conversation to me is this change in comments and stuff that I'm seeing in social media. And I think part of it is the influence of the influencers. And I think part of it is what I referred to the other day in a TikTok video as this is the marketing strategy of Big Tobacco in 2023. I firmly believe that they are paying people / companies / bots to infiltrate social media commentary with a pro-Zyn commentary. I fully believe that's happening. I believe it's happening based on my knowledge of digital marketing and social media marketing. I think it's pretty obvious when you look at the types of users and types of accounts that are making these comments. They are typically users that have very few followers, typically have a username like user 4496247. A lot of times will not have a profile picture and will continue to spam the same or similar messages over and over and over and over again. Messages like, and again, the one that springs to mind happens to be about Zyn, but make no mistake, this is not just about Zyn. This is On and Rogue and any other nicotine product out there. I blocked a guy the other day, and I actually made a video about it and just kind of showed myself blocking him. And I actually was not happy that I did it after the fact. I wasn't happy about it because I really do pride myself on the fact that I allow a lot of chatter and a lot of conversation on my channels. We allow a ton of conversation and dissenting opinion on Kill the Can, on the forums, on our Discord server, and those kind of things. This particular guy just kind of caught me at a bad moment, and I had seen he had posted the same comment on several of my videos, back to back to back to back to back, and I said, fuck you, I'm done, and I blocked him. And basically the comment was, you know, try Zyn. Give Zyn a try. This guy should have a Zyn. Zyn, 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 Zyn. Over and over and over and over again. And again, he was one of these guys that had a low follower count, and it was a relatively new account, and I just kept seeing the exact same comment over and over and over again. To me, that is a clear sign that it is a spam bot, or at the very least, it is a hired asset, and this is kind of how they're doing their marketing in 2023. The problem with this sort of marketing, and I use that term rather loosely, but that's what it is it's making these products sound safe. It's making these products sound like a better alternative and a safe alternative. And again, this is the same exact playbook that Big Tobacco has used for decades now when you're talking about smokeless tobacco. Right? It was always the safer alternative to smoking, the safer, safer, safe. And what happens is they morph that marketing message from a safer alternative to a safe alternative. And that is a massive, massive problem, in my opinion. Now, I have to get this out there. I have never been, and I've tried really hard not to be one of these people that says, everybody has to quit. That's not my personal mission. I'm not looking to force Big Tobacco out of business. I'm not looking to ban these products, that kind of thing. I firmly believe if you're an adult and you want to make a decision to use these products, that's fine. That's your, you know, that's your choice. Kill the Can was created as a way for when people are looking to quit, to be a support group, an accountability group, once you've made your decision to quit. So I get that out of the way. I do have a pretty significant problem, though, with the nicotine pouch products positioning themselves as such a safe alternative to tobacco products. Now, are they safer? I will preface this by saying I'm not a doctor, but I would say yes, they are probably safer. They're certainly better, I think, for you than smoking. I think it's kind of been proven and it's universally understood at this point that smoking is like the worst thing in the world for you, or right up there. Again, I started out this podcast by relaying that my father died of lung cancer. He hadn't smoked in probably 25 years, but his doctor even told him, you know what, it's entirely possible that, yes, this cancer has come back, and, you know, based on the fact that you were a smoker that many years ago, which is, it really just kind of, talk about a sobering thought when you recognize that something that you did 30 or 40 years ago could still come back and bite you in the ass so many years later. But I digress. These products are being positioned as safe. And when you layer in the fact that you've got influencers telling kids that they're great, how great these products are, that's when you really kind of get that double whammy effect. And that's when you get kids hooked on these products for years, 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 and decades. And again, it's the exact playbook they've used. They used it back in the day when Earl Campbell was, you know, the spokesperson, and again, the Marlboro Man, and all the, you know, I can remember Terry Bradshaw, you know, always used to have a big old, you know, Red Man chew in, and just like, you know, they've been using athletes and spokespeople and influencers for years and years and years. And I guess maybe just in the last couple months, I have come to realize, holy shit, this is what they're doing again. I don't know why I didn't see it sooner. And I don't know why I was surprised by it. Because I, you know, as I'm talking through it here, it's not surprising at all. And I get it, right? I mean, if you look at the annual numbers of smokers, those numbers have gone way down over the last several decades, which is amazing. But to think that big tobacco would not try to would not try to reclaim that revenue by other means is, I think, just kind of really short-sighted and really ignorant. I mean, that's exactly what they've done. And that's what they've done with nicotine products, nicotine pouches. That's what they're doing with vaping. All they've done is they have shifted their dollars and their efforts away from those more traditional tobacco products, cigarettes, cigars. Yeah, cigar is probably a different beast altogether. And they've shifted it towards nicotine pouches and nicotine products and smokeless products. And vapes, I'm sorry. Now, again, are these products safer? Yes, I think it's probably fair to say that they're safer. And the reason I say probably is because, A, I'm not a doctor, and B, these products have not been around long enough for us to know truly what the long-term outlook of usage of these products is going to be. Hopefully, they are safer, but, you know, I don't know what it's going to be, you know, when we find out what, you know, what happens to somebody after they've been vaping for 20 years, or what happens when they've been using nicotine products, pouches, for 20 years. I don't know, and I don't think anybody knows yet. Because these products are just that new. Let's just say, for argument's sake, they are safer. That's a very good thing, right? It's good that we've migrated away from those products, but I don't want people to think that they're safe. And I don't know. And maybe this is just the dad in me. But I really worry that with the combination of the marketing and the influencers and those kind of things, and if I'm being honest, our country right now is kind of stupid, is what it kind of feels like. It just feels like our young people in this country are just not of the caliber that they once were. And I don't mean that, and that sounds like me being a real asshole. That's not my intent. I just worry that our kids are being influenced by some really, really kind of nefarious and evil forces. And it really kind of bums me out. That's about all I got. I feel like I'm kind of rambling a little bit now, so I'm going to wrap it up. But hopefully the audio on this episode will come out okay. If it does, I will bring you more of these podcasts kind of as I'm driving to work or driving to school. And I'll talk to you soon, folks. Have a good afternoon. Peace.
Join us again next time for another edition of the Kill the Can podcast.